I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, you mother...
Politics. Politics. Humor. Humor. Tequila. Tequila. And an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio, show 69. Often heard on Bart Cop Radio networks, often seen on BartCop.com. We think we got a blockbuster for you today. It's just kind of a regular show until we get towards the end, because I think I have figured out something. I think I'm the only one so far that's figured this out, and this is big. This is big, big, big. Going out on a limb here, because I think I caught the Bush maladministration in a severe impeachment-type lie. I think I got him, and you're going to say, where's the beef? Well, I think I got him, and I want you to show me where the beef ain't. Because I think I got him. I think I'm the first person to figure this out. I'm going to splash it out to you. And if you see a flaw in the plan, I want you to write back to me. I want you to send me some email. We're going to fix you up with some big prize if you can figure a way for the Bush administration to get out of this. Because I think I got him. I think I got him dead to rights. I think I got him caught in a tractor's nuts. And we're going to pound away at them. And if somehow one of the bigger websites were to pick this up, but you know, that doesn't happen. They don't play that game. But I think I got him. I think I've got him good and strong. I think I got the Bush administration put in an airtight box that they can't get out of. That's my specialty. I'm a prosecutor by nature. I think I can prove that Bush has made a deal with Al-Qaeda. So, it's a regular length show, but don't bail out till you get to the end. We're saving this good part till the end, though. You're going to have to hang around and see if I'm right. Can't get started till we do the shot at Chinaco. Okay, we've done that, so we can get started. Boom.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Radio, 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 radio. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican radio.
Sometimes I say doing the radio is hard work. And when I say that, it's because sometimes you pick up a newspaper and there's nothing in it. Just story after story that's either obvious or it's a repeat of last week or there's just some reason why there's nothing left to be said about the story. And then there are days like yesterday, which was Wednesday, the 20-something of February. Seemed like every damn thing in the newspaper was worthy to comment on, so I thought I'd draw little black circles around the things that I thought were comment worthy. Thought we might run through them. Here it go. First thing up, man charged in alleged Al-Qaeda plot to kill Bush. This has been a big story for a couple of days, but I haven't heard anybody mention the bigger picture concerning this guy. It says, a former Virginia High School valedictorian, which makes you wonder what happens when the smartest of us are turning Al-Qaeda, who was held without charges in Saudi Arabia for 20 months, was accused Tuesday of conspiring with Al-Qaeda to assassinate President Bush. His name doesn't matter. It ends in Ali. Formerly of Falls Church, Virginia, was brought back to the USA late Monday by the FBI to face a 6-count indictment that accuses him of aspiring to be the next Muhammad Atta or the next Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. The indictment says Abu Ali, born in Houston, and an unnamed Al-Qaeda operative discussed two ways to kill Bush: get close enough to shoot the monkey or detonate a car bomb. He was not charged with taking steps to carry out the assassination. He was charged with providing material support to Al-Qaeda, knowing it would be used in preparation to kill Bush. What we have here is this boy's parents knew that he was being held in Saudi Arabia. He had been held there for 20 months. And the government, being the ballless bunch of crackers that it is, refused to even tell the family that Saudi Arabia was holding him, surely at the request of the monkey. So the family sued the federal government, Bush, to ask, where is our son? What have you done with our son? And only because they got sued did Bush decide to press charges against the guy. Now, here's a guy who someone suspected might have been involved in something. So what did they do? They either shipped him to Saudi Arabia or they caught him and, sent him to Saudi Arabia so they could torture him for 20 months and try to find out what he knows. So after having this guy tortured for 20 months, and we don't know if they got anything out of him or not, Bush and his monkey friends in Saudi Arabia were content, I guess, just torture this kid until the end of time. But finally, his parents found a lawyer who had the balls to sue the government, and they got before a judge, and they filed this thing, and the judge basically looked at the government and said, well, do you have this kid or not? And at that point, the government said, yes, we do. He's a really, really dangerous guy, and we're charging him with trying to murder the president. See, all of a sudden now, he's the most dangerous man in the world and has to be charged with, I guess, as serious a crime as you can charge a man with in this country. Although anything that Bush has a whim about is suddenly the most severe crime in the world. Because, as you know, if Bush decides he doesn't like the way a guy walks down the street, he can legally have him murdered thanks to the Democrats. Way to go, Democrats, giving Bush that kind of power.
Sir, I have your balls right here.
But it makes you wonder, what about all the other families? What about the families who can't afford a lawyer? What about the families who can't find a lawyer willing to sue the government? Obviously, you're going to put your legal career in jeopardy if you sue the government and say, excuse me, but there's a right of habeas corpus that's involved in the Constitution where you have to produce a fella. If we think you have him, you got to admit it. You have to say so. You got to do something. You got to produce the boy. So finally Bush, after 20 months of torture, he decided he was going to produce the boy and charge him with these serious crimes. Now, this is justice in America under the Bush monkey with the blessing of the Democrats. I think it's pretty disgusting.
I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I know what boys like. I got what boys like. I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I see them looking. I make them want me. I like to tease them. They want to touch me. I never let them. I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I know what boys like. You're special, I might get you. You're so much different, I might get you. Would you like that? I might get you.
Okay, here's another one. And I know this is going to make a whole bunch of people mad, and it just kills me that a man can't ask a question these days without being banished to hell. Wouldn't it be nice if we lived in the kind of country where someone could ask a question? Now, I didn't even know this was a big deal, and I think it's simply a manufactured thing by the right-wing media to take down. This is the president of Harvard. Now, next to Ted Kennedy and Hillary Clinton, who needs to be vilified the most? The president of Harvard. Because you know how those Harvard people, those intellectuals, the liberals, the know-it-alls, the people with degrees, the doctors and the professors, they know too much. They must be stopped. Anybody who would question Bush must be stopped, must be ridiculed, must be driven out of the business. So this Harvard president had something to say that sounds to me like it's just as innocent as it can be. But no, they vilified the guy. So here we go. Harvard president gets another grilling from the faculty. Harvard University President Lawrence Summers pledged Tuesday to listen more and watch his words and actions in the wake of a month-long brouhaha over remarks he made about women in science. Now, you're going to hear the most benign remarks ever. And they're just going to torture this guy into hell for asking a goddamn question. And that drives me. I, for one, have asked a couple of questions before and have been nailed to the cross. And it just makes me wonder why a fella can't ask a question in this country without being crucified. Summers faced the faculty heat for a second time in a week as more than 500 of the 670 members of the Faculty of Arts and Sciences questioned him for 2 hours. For 2 hours, they quit. They grilled this guy for 2 hours. Wait till you hear the horrible things he said about women. Oh, God, what a beast. I am determined to set a different tone, he said in a statement before taking questions at the standing room only session. A no confidence vote, which has been discussed as a symbolic gesture, did not come up. Elvin Hammonds, a professor of the history of science and African American studies, said he was a little short on specifics, but he believes his efforts, meaning Summers, to change are sincere. To change? This man doesn't need to change. The mood is going to be very, very tense because nobody knew what was going to happen, she said, about this confrontation with the president of Harvard. Now, here we go. You ready for the meat and potatoes? Got a drink? You got a smoke? Relaxed? You ready for this? The controversy started at a meeting January 14th of the National Bureau of Economic Research when Summers suggested that innate differences and aptitude between the sexes in science and math could account for greater numbers of men in those highly competitive fields. But at Tuesday's meeting, the gender issue was replaced by a focus on faculty governance, a physics professor says. What the hell has that got to do with? Hammonds has said the episode has been a searing experience for Harvard. We're used to being in the news for what we do as scholars and researchers and not for the scrutiny, she says. So here's the deal as I understand it. Now, that's always my caveat because I'm sure I could get into this story. I could spend 30 days on it and dig into every nuance that it might ever have. But apparently, what happens here, when it comes to science and math, boys do better. And he wondered why that was. And all of a sudden, he is a sexist pig for asking the question, why do men do better? Now, what in the hell are you going to do? Let's say you have a meeting of the science and math people, and you have to have a degree in science and math to get in the room, and there's 100 people in the room, and 70 of them are men, and 30 of them are women, and you ask what's going on, you are a sexist pig for asking the question. Now, it seems to me there's a couple of ways to go here. Maybe society and the culture has somehow put a negative stigma on math and science for the poor women. And to be a smart math and science woman, then your female peers reject you and the men consider you an upstart. And so that's why women don't go into math and science. That's a possibility. I guess I should be crucified for suggesting that. Another possibility would be maybe what the guy was suggesting is that perhaps men are wired a little better for science and math. That doesn't make him a crazy man. That makes him a guy asking a question. And this gets back to the same old, you remember, what was that guy's name? Was it Jimmy the Greek Schneider, who suggested that blacks do better in sports because 100 years ago they made it the biggest and strongest slaves to produce bigger and stronger offspring so they could do more work. And for him to suggest that that's possibly a reason why black athletes dominate every sport, he was drummed out of the business. He couldn't work anymore. He died a few years later, I assume, in a bottle of alcohol and despair because he was branded a racist bastard for asking or having the opinion. Now, it's one thing to say niggers are too stupid and lazy to do X and Y. I mean, now you're talking about, now you got flammable in your hands. But to suggest that if 7 out of 10 scientists are men, that may mean a pre-wired predilection for that, or it may be a social reason, it may be economic, it may be some other reason, but the man brought the subject up, and now he had to undergo a 2-hour grilling from 500 members of the Faculty of Arts and Sciences for asking the question. Good Lord, do black people swim as well as white people? Do black people ski as well as white people? It's just a question. Do white people dance as well as black people? Do white people run as fast as black people? The answer is no, clearly. If you're the guy who writes down the winner of the race, and the winner of the race is always from Kenya and is always black, are you a racist if you write down the name and gender of the man and ethnicity of the man who won the race? Does that make you a racist for recognizing the fact that he came in first? I don't understand that. Apparently it makes you a sexist pig if you suggest or wonder what factors cause more men to be scientists than women. Apparently that's a bad, bad thing to do, and you dare not get anywhere near the subject. And I, for one, am a little tired. I printed a quote today from Bill Maher, who was fired from his ABC show a couple of years ago for saying that What Muhammad Atta and his 19 buddies did was not cowardice. He said, to some degree, it took courage to sacrifice your life to blow up a building for whatever your hand job, idiotic religious cause was, and that it was a little less courageous to be flying 10 or 15 miles above a city dropping bombs. And I think that's kind of obvious on its face. That doesn't mean that America's a bunch of cowards. That doesn't mean that the bad guys are all courageous. Well, if you're willing to throw your life away for a cause, you kind of have to label that courageous to some degree. If the kamikaze pilots in World War II volunteered to run their planes into an aircraft carrier, that would be an act of courage, in my opinion. That doesn't mean I'm pro-Japanese and I hated Pearl Harbor, you know, so you know how people take off on something, and I know how people do that. But just because, and I probably have mentioned this before, I remember I heard G. Gordon Liddy in 1993 saying that the German tanks and the German airplanes were better than ours in 1940. And I thought, oh my God, Gordon, you better watch your ass. Someone's going to hear you say that their tanks were bigger, that their tanks were faster, that their tanks could turn faster, that they were better wired, that they were stronger, et cetera, et cetera. How dare you say that when comparing them to American tanks? But if the facts are, if our tank goes 40 miles an hour and their tank goes 60, to say their tank goes faster is not a crime. It's not a slur against America. It's just a fact. And if you wonder why Japan and Germany had better airplanes before the war, better than the United States, that's not treasonous. That's asking a question. And here this poor bastard at Harvard, he asked the question, why are there more boys in science than girls? Gee, could it be they're wired different? Could it be another factor? I just don't know. And now he's pilloried for having an opinion, for having a question. And it just makes no sense to me why a man can't speak today. It's not just men, it's anybody. If anybody dares to ask a question. But wouldn't it be nice if we lived in the kind of country where free speech was actually allowed, where as long as you don't scream fire in the theater, that you could actually be heard, and you might even get to finish the sentence before the outrage of the crowd rose up and flowed over you. But then again, in the same breath, we live in a time where Bush can murder 100,000 Iraqi civilians and 1,500 soldiers, and nobody dares whisper a word because to speak up would be wrong. It would be against God, flag, and country to suggest that we're wrong to be murdering Iraqis for no reason. Funny how a guy who asks a question about math aptitudes is the villain, and the guy who ordered a senseless attack on a backwards country and killed 100,000 people and stole their oil, that's wrong to bring that up. But if you ask a question about math aptitude, you're in a lot of trouble, buddy. Give me your hand, we're going to nail it over here. Give me your other hand, we're going to nail it over there. We're going to nail your feet, we're going to give you a crown of thorns, we're going to run a lance through your side because you asked the question. And in America, we don't allow asking questions. Okay, here's another one. I know some of you think I'm anti-Catholic. Not true. I'm anti-religion. Catholics just get more press than a lot of you people. Here's a headline. Priest gets probation in death of Pittsburgh player. Now, this is on the sports page. A priest pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter Tuesday in the death of University of Pittsburgh football player who fell through a church ceiling while drunk. Check it out. A priest pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter Tuesday in the death of a Pittsburgh football player who fell through a church ceiling while drunk. The Reverend Harry he's from Poland. We'll call him the Reverend Henry, who entered the plea the day his trial was to begin, was sentenced to 7 years probation. The sentence was the most probation Henry could have faced in the 2003 death of receiver Billy Gaines, 19. Gaines fell on his head from more than 20 feet from a crawl space above the ceiling at St. Anne's Church in a Pittsburgh suburb. A witness said Gaines had 8 shots of rum and coke, plus a shot of liquor at a party on church grounds. Gaines died about 20 minutes after his fall. Prosecutors said the Reverend Henry, 52, was the only adult of legal drinking age at the party. So what in the world does this tell us? Father Henry got a bunch of kids drunk. Now, kids, we're talking, one guy was 19, but they were all minors. So, for some reason, on church property, Reverend Henry decided to get a whole bunch of miners drunk. Now, what kind of wild sex party was this going to turn into? What motivation does a 52-year-old priest have to get a whole bunch of kids drunk? What's wrong with the Catholics that they can't figure out that this is not a good thing? Now, sure, it's one thing if you're 21 and your date is 20 or whatever. Say you're 19. Say you're 18. I don't know, depending on what the hell law, what state you live in. But say you're 21 and your girlfriend's 18 or 19 and you buy a drink at a bar and you let her sip on it. That's not exactly crime of the century, although technically it is. But to be 52 and go buy liquor to get, it doesn't say how many people were there. Says he was the only adult of legal drinking age at the party. So the 52-year-old priest apparently went somewhere and bought a bunch of rum and some liquor, it says. Now, the idiot that wrote the story, it says from Wire Report, so there's nobody to be held responsible. The Wire lied to us. The Wire's a bad reporter. The Wire can't do its job. But they, I hate when they chisel out that way. But not only was there rum, but there was also liquor there, and the priest was trying to liquor these kids up, we can only assume, so he could sex them. Now, what was this priest doing? And there's a kicker coming. But what is the priest doing trying to get a bunch of kids drunk, kids in the sense that they're not old enough to drink? The parents of the fellow who died have sued the church for $75 million. Now, the Catholic Church has been found guilty so many, either dozens or hundreds of times, they've been found guilty of child rape and child molestation. They can't afford another $75 million to go to this most recent infraction. Because this idiot, Reverend Henry Kruzwitzkit, got a bunch of kids drunk and one of them died. Now, what the hell is wrong with the church that they can't realize that they need to stop with their criminal behavior? There's pretty soon there's going to be no more church. And that's okay with me. I don't give a flying F about the Catholic Church other than the Catholics I know will feel real bad when their church is gone. But every day you pick up a paper where they had 23 churches in some town and now they got 9, you know, because they had to let 14 churches go because they couldn't afford them because there's no priest coming in because they've got no money left because they had to dole out $500 million, or I think it's almost $1 billion. A while back on the page I ran a thing, I think it was $800 or $900 million they've had to give out in the last few years, like 6 or 8, 10 years. Almost $1 billion in penalties. You know, you could take every priest in America to Vegas and get them laid by a playmate-looking hooker for $1 billion, but no. They want to trick a 5-year-old into doing something. That's wrong. I might be the only one that sees it that way, but I think sex with a child is wrong, but the Catholics can't seem to get weaned off of their child sex habit. Are you ready for the kicker now? Judge John Zottola imposed the sentence, which was, remember, 7 years probation. Oh, please, you give this guy probation. How do you give a guy, a serial molester, and I'm not saying he is, but come on, a Catholic priest getting a bunch of kids drunk and you give him probation, he's going to do it again. You know he's going to do it again. I'll bet money on it. I'll bet my computer. I'll bet my Zeppelin tapes. I'll bet my Shirley pictures. I'll bet anything I have. He's going to do it again. And when he gets caught the next time, they're going to say, we didn't know. All right, but here comes the kicker. Judge John Zottola imposed a sentence under a plea bargain crafted with the approval of Gaines' parents, who didn't want the priest to go to jail. Oh, no, don't want that. We might save lives if we send the guilty to jail. Gaines' family has a $75 million suit pending against the Catholic Church of Pittsburgh. The family said the priest wasn't properly disciplined for past accusations involving minor and liquor. Can you believe that? Past infractions, minors and liquor. He wasn't ever punished. So they want $75 million to teach the idiot Catholics a lesson. And so what does this priest get? He gets probation. So the serial molester here finally gets caught, and he gets caught because the guy died, not because someone told. So, you know, this could be liquor sex party number 212, where some drunk kid, drunk for the first time, decided he'd see how high he could climb, and he fell and died. So that broke open the thing to public scrutiny. Now it's public scrutiny. We got a 52-year-old priest getting a bunch of kids drunk, And they're suing because he wasn't properly disciplined for past accusations involving alcohol and minors. Now, is the church ever going to learn? I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. If I lived in the year 2020, I'm going to be telling you, I'm going to pick up a newspaper, USA Today, in the year 2020, and I'm going to read you another story about another priest who molested another kid, probably while drunk, and you're going to say, oh, get off it, Bart. Well, gee, I'll get off it if they'll get off them. You know, it's pretty simple. There's nothing that makes, it's not like, you know, the story about the scorpion stings the guy as they go across the river, you know, whatever, a turtle or somebody. Scorpion needs a ride. The turtle or whoever says, I'll give you a ride. Scorpion gets on his back halfway over. The scorpion stings the turtle and kills him. And as he's dying, the turtle says, why'd you do that? The scorpion says, because that's who I am. Well, the priests don't have to be the drunken child molesters. But they are, because nobody's telling them they have to stop. The Pope doesn't mind. The bishops don't mind. They refuse to take the zero tolerance pledge. That means we want to continue to rape little boys because we're Catholic priests, and Catholics accept that. They accept it like Democrats. They just take it. And then they go to church the next Sunday, and they write the church another big check, and they take that money, and they funnel that secretly. Think of all these abuses that we know about. These are just the ones that were made public. Think how many times someone has gone to the rectory, and do you wonder why they call it the rectory? And said, you molested my boy, I want $80,000, or I'm going to the police, I'm going to get me a lawyer, I'm going to go to the newspaper, or, you know, write me a check for, okay, here's $80,000, we're sorry. Then they transfer the guy 10 miles away, put the wolf right in the middle of a new sheep or a new hen house, whatever you want to call it, and have him start on the little kids there. This is what the Catholic Church is about. This is what they refuse to change from. I'm outraged by it, and I ain't got no kids, and I ain't Catholic. Funny how you Catholics with kids should be so much more outraged than me. You should be, and before you write me the nasty letter, write the church a nasty letter. Say, I ain't giving you another dime until you take the zero tolerance pledge in writing, in public, in the newspaper. Once you do that, then I'll send you another dime. Same with those crazy Democrats. Until they stand up to Bush, why should they get another dime? Okay, closing out now. The priest gets probation in the death of a kid. This kid was 19. He's not ever going to see 20 because he let a priest get him drunk. He exercised bad judgment. He partied with a priest. And the priest was not punished for past infractions. So now they've given him probation. How about that? Don't believe in heaven or hell.
Cop Radio. If you don't know, we're not going to tell you.